Då vill jag be församlingen att stå upp. Och vi ska först lyssna på evangeliet enligt Johannes kapitel 13, vers 31 och framåt. Och sedan kommer vi till dagens predikotext från Andra Mosebok. Det här är sidan 768 i de röda biblarna, om ni har en sådan. Johannes 13, 31. När Judas hade gått, sa Jesus: nu har människosonen förhärligats, och Gud har förhärligats i honom. Är nu Gud förhärligad i honom, ska Gud också förhärliga honom i sig. Och han ska snart förhärliga honom. Ännu en kort tid är jag hos er, mina barn. Ni kommer att söka efter mig. Och jag säger nu till er vad jag sa till judarna: dit jag går kan ni inte komma. Ett nytt bud ger jag er: att ni ska älska varandra. Så som jag har älskat er ska också ni älska varandra. Alla ska förstå att ni är mina lärjungar om ni visar varandra kärlek. Den gammaltestamentliga läsningen är från Andra Mosebok 13 och vers 20. Och det är sidan 58 i de röda biblarna. De bröt upp från Sukkot och slog läger i Etam vid randen av öknen. Om dagen gick Herren framför dem i en molnpelare för att visa dem vägen. Och om natten gick han i en eldpelare för att lysa dem. Så kunde de vandra både dag och natt. Molnpelaren gick ständigt framför dem om dagen och eldpelaren om natten. Så lyder Herrens ord. Gud, vi tackar dig.
You may be seated. Cloud by day, fire by night. Let's hear this one verse again. The pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night did not depart from before the people. We are all born a long way from home. Home is where we need to be, but home is not where we begin. In the story from Exodus, the Israelites were born in bondage in Egypt, but they did not belong there. So God sent a deliverer, Moses. Salvation came by the blood of the Passover lamb. But after the Exodus, they still had a long way to go. There was a long journey ahead of them to reach the promised land. And so they were led by God on their journey, a cloud by day, a fire by night. The people of God are a people on pilgrimage. That's true of the ancient Israelites. That's true of you and me today. Ours is a pilgrimage of the soul toward our true home of union with God. So that conversion is the beginning, not the completion. It's the start of the journey. It's not the arrival at home. Truth is not a laminated card that you carry in your pocket. Truth is a long, hard road, and you have to walk it. If we are truly intent upon our spiritual journey, there will be the guidance of the Holy Spirit, who in various ways will help us find our way. We can call it a cloud by day, a fire by night. As I reflect upon my life as a Christian seeking to follow Jesus for something like 50 years now, my life as a pastor for almost 45 years now, my life as a writer who engages in theology for something like 20 years, my spiritual theological journey has been a half a century attempt to follow the cloud by day and the fire by night. I started out as a teenager. I had a dramatic encounter with Jesus so that overnight I went from being the high school Led Zeppelin freak to the high school Jesus freak. I was swept up in the Jesus movement of the 1970s. It was a very special time. I look back on it with great fondness. That then led me into the charismatic movement, which was also a very exciting time. And that was good until it wasn't. As time went on, these movements that had swept me along eventually began to be too celebrity-driven, too consumerist, eventually too political, and certainly too American. And so in midlife, I had a kind of awakening. Sometimes I describe it as being born again. And I had to get off that bus. You understand? I just stepped on a bus. And the bus was good. Until one day, I'm looking out the window and thinking, where are we going? It seems like I'm being taken somewhere that is not representative of what I set out to follow Jesus to find. And so I had to make a decision to get off the American charismatic bus and again find the cloud by day and the fire by night. Many of my Jesus freak friends, we called ourselves that. Well, people called us that, and then we just said, all right, we'll be a Jesus freak then. Many of my Jesus freak friends and my charismatic comrades from the 70s have turned into, political proponents for a MAGA kind of Christianity. And I say with the Apostle Paul, this causes me great sorrow and unceasing grief. I think, what happened? We didn't start out to become that. What has happened? And as I look upon it, analyze it, think about it, which I do all the time, even when I don't want to, I would say that it was as simple as a handful of celebrity preachers and televangelists in pursuit of political power ushered them aboard an ideological bus. And in the comfort of the crowd, they just let that ideological bus take them wherever it went. Soren Kierkegaard, great Danish philosopher and religious thinker, diagnoses the problem with this hard hitting sentence. I should have made a slide for it, but I didn't. But just listen carefully. Even though every individual possesses the truth, when he gets into a crowd, untruth will be present at once. For the crowd is untruth. The crowd the crowd is untruth. That's what Soren Kierkegaard said. I had a very wise father. He was a respected judge, beloved in the community, and he used to say to me all the time, "Brian, the majority is almost always wrong. The crowd is untruth. The majority is almost always wrong. Sitting resolutely where you have always sat offers no spiritual security at all if you are traveling on an ideological bus moving toward untruth. At some point, we have to take responsibility for our own spiritual journey. This is what happened to me in midlife. I woke up one day and realized the bus I was on was taking me somewhere I didn't want to go. The movement I had been swept up into in the 1970s that had been characterized by radical devotion to Jesus had strangely morphed into the de facto religious wing of a political party. That's when I got off the bus and made a decision to walk my own road. It's not just the lone pilgrim who can go astray. Entire movements can veer radically off course. Institutions can make wrong turns and venture onto wrong roads, taking multitudes of passive passengers along for the ride. That's when we need the courage to make a decision to get off the bus that is obviously going in the wrong direction and once again find the cloud by day and the fire by night. Let me tell you a story about finding the cloud by day and the fire by night. And it starts in some ways a long time ago with a man named Aurelius Augustus, known to history as Saint Augustine of Hippo. He was born in 354 in the late Roman Empire. He had a Christian mother and he had a pagan father. And he had a colossal intellect. In his 20s, he became the professor of rhetoric at the University of Milan, probably the most prestigious academic position in the world at that time. He became the speechwriter for the emperor. He was traveling in the upper strata of Roman society. And that afforded this young man all kinds of opportunities and temptations. And young Augustine began to live the libertine lifestyle of a hedonist. He eventually formed a friendship with the Bishop of Milan, Ambrose. Their friendship was formed over their shared love of rhetoric. But through the godly Saint Ambrose, a deeper aspiration to become a Christian was awakened in Augustine. But there was always that ball and chain of carnal desire that held him back. The moral rigors of the Christian faith seemed too much for him to be able to endure. In August of 386, at the age of 31, he was sitting in his home in Milan with his friend Alypius. They were playing some kind of board game. But Augustine wasn't really thinking about the board game. He was thinking about four of their friends who had recently converted and become Christians and embarked upon the journey to live a life of following Christ. Augustine said to Alypius, "What's wrong with us? You and I both know they've done the right thing. Our four friends have ventured off to follow Christ, and here we sit. What's wrong with us?" And he began to weep. And he was embarrassed to weep in front of his friend Alypius. And so he retreated into the garden behind the house. And he flung himself down under a fig tree. And he began to pray, "Oh God, how long? Oh Lord, how long? Why can't I be free now? Why not now?" And then Augustine heard, on the other side of the garden wall, the voice of a child. He said, I don't know if it was a boy or a girl, but they were chanting, sort of in a sing-song voice, tole lege, tole lege, tole lege, take and read, take and read, take and read. And he thought to himself, are there any children's songs, any children's games that say, tole lege, take and read? And he couldn't think of any. And somehow he decided, this must be the voice of God. I might say it on this day, maybe that was a cloud by day. And he walked back into his room, picked up the first book he came upon. This man's a scholar. There's books all around. It happened to be a copy of Paul's epistle to the Romans. He opens it at random. You can do this about once in life. This works about one time in life. He opens it up. You know how you do this. Points at it. And it's Romans chapter 13, verse 14. Not in debauchery. Not in drunkenness, not in licentiousness. Instead, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh. And he went and he showed that to his friend Alypius, who was still sitting at the board game. It's your move. And he points at that verse and he says, that's happened to me. From this moment on, I put on the Lord Jesus Christ. At Easter, he was baptized by his friend, the Bishop Ambrose. 4 years later, he became the Bishop of Hippo. On June 4th, 2000, I was sitting on my front porch. It was a Sunday afternoon. And I was reading Augustine's Confessions. It's a spiritual memoir in the form of a prayer. The whole book is a prayer to God. It begins, oh God, you have formed us for yourself, and our heart is restless until it finds its rest in you. I was reading Confessions. I was also in the midst of feeling like the Christianity I knew was too thin, too compromised, too consumerist, too American, too politicized. And I just read that story. And then a little bit more, and then I closed the book, sat on that front porch, and I prayed this prayer. I said, God, as much as I can mean anything, I mean this prayer right now. I want to spend the rest of my life discovering you as you are revealed in Jesus Christ. Amen. And I meant that prayer. The next thing that happened was unanticipated. I wanted to say some words. I couldn't keep myself from saying some words. They were coming from deep within me, and the words were, come with me. Come with me. There was no one around, but come with me. Come with me. Come with me, and you won't get cheated. Perry, that was 26 years ago. A lot of them got cheated. And so I began to preach and tell my congregation, I think I've seen the cloud by day, the fire by night. I think the Lord is showing me a way into something that is deeper, better, richer. We won't get cheated. We'll find something that's worth really giving our lives to. And it eventually led to a 10-year journey of leading our church into a deeper, richer, more historic Christian faith. Along the way, we lost over 1,000 people. It was hard, it hurt, it was painful, but it was worth it. Today, our church is in a very good place. We're pressing into the promised land. We're finding some milk and some honey. But it was all because in midlife, I was able to, here's the cloud. There's the fire by night. We can't stay here. We've got to move. We've got to journey. We've got to press on. So I look back over that 10-year period of time where I was able to bring our church out of the thinness and the compromise and the politics of American charismatic Christianity into something much better, much richer, something that does flow with milk and honey. And here's how I describe that period of time. It's our Old Testament reading for this Sunday. Let me paraphrase it. The Lord went before us in a pillar of cloud by day to lead us along the way, and in a pillar of fire by night to give us light so that we might travel day and night. The pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night did not depart from us. Brothers and sisters, I promise you that if you set your heart on pilgrimage, the pilgrimage of the soul toward God, God will lead you. He will help you find your way. When you need it most, He'll give you some kind of sign. A cloud by day, a fire by night. Amen.